Away we go. It is Friday, December the 18th, 2020, 18 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into WWGH Radio. This is The Pastor Spot, a weekly radio ministry of community Christian fellowship. Now remember, this program airs live every Friday morning from 11:10 a.m. until 12 p.m. and repeats every Sunday morning from 8:10 a.m. till 9 a.m. and Wednesday from 3:10 p.m. until 4 p.m. And now here is the host of the program, Pastor Steve Whitaker.
Oh, hi, Scott.
How's it going? Here we are, a week away.
A week? I can't wait. Tim Steele's with me again this morning. Tim and I...
Hello, everybody.
Tim and I took a detour from our rabbit hunting and thought we'd take a detour and come in here real quick and then head back out into the world. But anyway, I know that sounds funny, but you know, we all do different things, do not?
We do.
But anyway, leading up to Christmas, which is coming, I thought I'd start out this morning with reading the Christmas story. How's that?
I love that. That's
listeners,
perfect.
If you haven't heard it in a while, here it goes. This is in the second chapter of Luke. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house of the line of David. He was pledged to be married to Mary, who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. They were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, in the name of the angel, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. Wonderful story.
Great.
Right there you see the change in history. Regardless of whether people believe or not, one thing that they can't argue, that Jesus Christ of Nazareth changed this world more than any figure in history ever. And what he taught, and the gospel has lived through famines and wars and fighting and so many different things. And those who believe it as much today, believe that truth as much today as they believed it 2,000 years ago. And I look forward to Christmas. That's always fun. You know, one of the things, Scott, that I really enjoy every year, I have special times I remember. And you'd ask someone, well, what's your favorite time of Christmas Day? What's your favorite time of the Christmas season? There's some that stand out in my mind. One is, I used to stand for the Salvation Army and with a kettle. And due to time constraints and different things, I've kind of gotten away from that. And the response to us doing it isn't always there. But that's something I always really enjoy, and seeing people with a smile on their face, want to give to someone outside of themselves that they'll never know. The second thing I really love, and I just, it's a lot of stress and a lot of sweat working up to it, but is our annual Christmas blessing, which we do for the people in our community and in our school district, to help those less fortunate to shop for their kids in our church. And the outpouring this year was just unbelievable of people giving money to help do it, giving gifts. You know, if I mentioned one this morning, I can't do that because there's probably about 40 of them between companies and individuals, and I'd forget one and then I'd be in trouble. But I want to thank over the air all those people that donated to make this year as well as it did. It was a little different this year because we had to do appointments because of the whole COVID situation. We had to do, normally, on any normal year, say people will come in at 9 o'clock in the morning, they'll all gather at the sanctuary, they'll fill out their paperwork, we do a, I'll do a Christmas message, a short one, and we'll have prayer, and then they take like five people at a time based on when they come in and take them in. And all those other people were sitting there waiting, and they're seeing all these gifts go out the door, and they're thinking, is there anything going to be left for me? And they get anxious. Some do, not all. And this year, because of scheduling it, we had time slots that people came in. And they still had 3 to 4 people that helped them shop, but that we had time slots every half hour. And then when they finish that, they go next door to get clothing where Tim was at. And it went so much smoother. More smooth. And the other way, the other thing that I thought was neat was, rather than doing that one message, I had all the people that were going to be in the next group in there while one group was shopping, so that I could have more of an individual talk with each one of them and pray with them. And it was just a really neat time. And then I would have to say that I guess there's not three things that I really love, there's four. One of them is certainly our Christmas Eve service. I just love it. It's always been done by candlelight. And ironically, you wouldn't think anybody would want to come when it's cold. But it's been several years ago now that we got to the church. It was very cold outside. We got to the church to start getting ready, and the furnace was out. And we didn't get it back on for the Christmas Eve service. And everybody was in there bundled up, and you're seeing the breath come out in the air right in the sanctuary. And so many people have told me that was the neatest Christmas Eve service we ever had. And they just felt a warmth and a closeness that was different. But I enjoy that service very much. And it's not just our church is what's kind of neat. We have people come in. We have those once a year Christmas families, or some people that go somewhere where there's not a service, but there's so many different people that come in. So I love that one, and being able to share the Christmas story and share the gospel with people. But then there's this other time, and it's when I'm at home and everything's done and it's getting late, and Shirley and I are sitting there just talking, and the lights are on. Not the house lights, but the Christmas lights. and were able to sit and have a cup of chocolate and just talk back and forth about the whole thing. And that's a very touching time for me. So those are neat things. And you notice that none of them had too much commercialism in it. Of course, she'll probably talk me into a Hallmark Christmas movie that night, I'm pretty sure. But no, it's a it's just a wonderful time of year. And I hope that we don't end up with stay-at-home orders to spoil it. But I hope families can still be together. But, you know, I think that, you know, we know that God always provides a way. And things that we think are doom and gloom, I see opportunity in. I said yesterday in a card I wrote someone that, you know, a lot of people are saying, oh, no, what's 2021 going to be like? You know, they're full of despair and all this stuff. You know, I see 2021 as a great opportunity. Because the more things that aren't normal on the surface, the more people start looking inward and seeing who they really are. And that's a wonderful time for the church. We have so many neat things that have happened because of this. As I look out and I see families doing things more together than they did. You know, one thing that's kind of funny is we probably did need to wash our hands more and pay a little bit more attention to hygiene. You have to really think about it. This can have long-lasting good effects if it changes people's behavior that way. But people have been more, this year especially, people have been very giving when it comes to helping other people. And that can never hurt anything for that. Have you noticed that at all?
Well, I haven't. And the thing about it is, though, because people keep talking about the end, but usually when they refer to the end of it, they refer to it in the terms that things will have been changed forever. You know, I don't know. I'll be interested to see. I'll be interested to see what'll happen when there are no more restrictions and the fear for the most part is gone and you don't have to wear a mask in public and you don't have to distance 6 feet. I wonder what people will do. Will they go back to the restaurants full force? Will they go back to those schedules that were hectic? I don't know. I'm interested to see.
One thing that I heard I got a kick out of is that, well, you baby boomers can't be always be talking about the blizzard of 78 anymore because this one's a bigger story. And I guess they're probably right. Will people go back? You know, it's just like with anything else. You know, some people go back. Some people will learn things that they'll grasp onto and they'll continue doing it. You know, last week I talked about the different gardening and outdoor things people were doing with just their family and that stuff continuing to go on. I think some of that stuff will be long term. I think that people will start to figure out what to do with their kids at home again. And I'm sure there's a lot of parents that have gotten more involved in their kids' schoolwork and understand what it is and what it takes. And of course, there will be some things that will be that have gone on that have been very difficult and very hard. Especially for young children and young people that depend on that school environment for their well-being, quite frankly. And we pray heavily for those and reach out to those and hope things are the best there. But, you know, I think that when they lift their restrictions completely, I think people, for the most part, are going to go back to what they were doing. I really do believe that. I don't think they're going to be walking around wearing masks all the time.
No, and I think the business will pick back up, and I think people will go back to a pretty busy lifestyle. I think it's just, I think what this was just will end up being a year and a half of a break of that. But I don't, you know, a lot of people, it's funny. I talk to a lot of people who have young kids, and they talk about how they did not like this past summer. They did not like having their kids enrolled in those sports. They did not like not being able to go to practice and sit outside and watch them. I don't know. I think there's a division there. I think people who did like it because their life wasn't so fast anymore, and then there's people who didn't like it because they like to be social, you know, people. It's been an interesting thing.
Maybe it goes back to your ability, your personal ability to adjust. And a lot of people don't have a real strong ability to adjust. And I know some boys that played football this year that had the greatest year they could imagine. And parents were, it was kind of interesting going to the ball games because you had the stands where only family was there. And actually, it was more of a, dare I say, an intimate setting between child athlete and parent than it would have been had that stands been packed. Does that kind of make sense?
It does. And you know, the football games are particularly interesting because there's a team, and people will know what team it is here in Marion County, who was having a great year, having a great, great year. And then because maybe that was because of the pandemic in a way, because we also learned something kind of interesting. I was talking to some sports reporters and some coaches, and they said one thing we learned that we would have never learned because of not knowing if school was going to go on and if the football season was even going to go on, no school started conditioning early in the summer. And we learned that these teams that do so well every year that didn't have that early conditioning didn't do as well. And so that's just a side note. But the one team this year that did really good in Marion County get to the playoffs, and the pandemic hit their team. And the last game they played, which for those seniors was the last game, they were missing a lot of kids. And they lost the game pretty badly because of that. So I think most season was great for them. It was a happy time for everything you just said. But because of the quarantining and the not being able to play when, with most other illnesses, you would be your choice to play, the last game was probably anticlimactic for them.
Mm-hmm. I think that you know, in Scripture we know that we're not supposed to put our faith in the physical things. We put our faith in God and trust Him. We do what we're supposed to do with physical things. It doesn't mean that if you have faith that you just lay back and let God take care of you. No, that's not the case. But I think that this brought out something in people that showed them they could be resilient. And I think it has taught a lot of people that, look, we can get through things we never thought we could get through. You know, if you'd have said 2 years ago that this fall, every game is going to be iffy, whether they can play it. There's not going to be parents in the stands, or there's not going to be any extended family. I think at most schools in the county, the students were given 4 passes for family, and that was it. And if another family wanted to come to the next game, you had to rotate. But it had to be immediate family, too. It couldn't be friends. It had to be family. But if you would have told them that a year ahead of time, no one's going to play football. No one's going to do this. We're not going to do that. You know, well, they did it, and it worked out well, and everybody had their little red X in the bleachers where they were allowed to sit and not sit. And so I think that it shows that we can adjust. We can face it. As Americans, we have been awfully spoiled. We usually get what we want, when we want, and how we want. And this is the first time since, I would guess, World War II that we haven't had what we wanted, when we wanted, how we wanted it, and you know what I mean?
You know something, it has not to do with sports here, but this is talked about very little, but I have seen this time and time again since March, since this whole thing started, when people can't go out and eat and less to the stores and so on and so forth. For a long time, there was this thought that, you know, if you go out and eat every night and every meal, you're living outside of your means and so on and so forth. Well, what happened with a lot of people, and not everybody, but when people realized that you didn't have to leave your house and you could get on Amazon or DoorDash or all these places, they ended up spending more than when they went out and ate every night.
Isn't that interesting?
And they really got themselves in a pickle because of it. And I was shocked by that I guess it was. I guess those services were never thought of as go-tos.
A necessity.
And when they did, people were having toilet paper delivered to their house. They weren't even going to the store for that anymore, and paying 5 times what you would pay for toilet paper. But it was all, hey, we can do this now. And I don't know if that's, I hope that's not long-term, because it hurt a lot of people in the wallet.
Yeah, I think that it's kind of because people for the real first time said, "Hey, shopping's fun. I can shop at home."
Yeah,
and they have. And have you done any shopping at home, Tim?
Not me. I go to the store.
Go to the store.
But my son, he does go to the grocery store. He, like you said, he does DoorDash or Grubhub or whatever. Just about every day to get his main meal for the day.
And you have to tip those people. That's another thing, people. You know, you might pay the same for the toilet paper, but or the meal, but you got to tip the driver. And the cost of it goes up a little bit because you have to pay a base fee for those people to have them anyway. I was just shocked. It blew my mind that how people went into debt. It's something about that.
I think that in a lot of ways, too, it opened people's minds that we need to really pay attention to what other countries do around us. We're not isolated in the U.S. anymore. And we have to pay attention to that. Travel has been something we've so taken for granted and just done it. And now we got a question, you know, do I want to sit on a plane with somebody that could have an infectious disease? It's just so many changes have taken place that I think, but I go back again to the fact that I know God sustains myself and my family until that day that he chooses not to. And I've gone on pretty much business as usual. In many ways, it puts a little more on you when you got to call and get a hold of people and talk to more people because you're not seeing them in church every week, and especially our elderly. But maybe we needed to be doing that anyway, you know, checking on our elderly more and checking on our parents more. And how's mom doing in the nursing home? You know, I would imagine there's a lot of people that said, I can't even go visit my parents, that never would have gone anyway. Mm. You know, but now, you know, this opened that door. So I don't know. I think it's just something we're all going to get through. I think Christmas is going to be great. My children had a Christmas tree lot this year, and all the trees got taken. They're all gone. And matter of fact, most of the lots are that way. And I think it's been a real season of giving and hope. And I was so glad last night we could do the Christmas carols in town on the hay wagon. That was great because people just aren't expecting that kind of stuff. And I think that's pretty neat. So
I wonder in the end what the Christmas of 2020 will be. I mean, there will be those things like there weren't Santas in stores. I think there was less shopping in stores because of masks and just the issue. There will be less get-togethers with elderly people, a grandma, grandpa. I don't know. I don't know what the story will be on the Christmas of 2020.
I don't know. I went to TJ Maxx last weekend. Shirley and I stopped in. And that wasn't even a weekend. It was daytime, maybe a Friday or something, midday. And they were busy. I mean, the store was, you know, fairly busy. So we'll see. And I think it's going to be different town to town, region to region. I really do. Some places, let's put it this way. We have passed the point of knowing what to expect anywhere at any time. And I think that it's been a great eye-opener how quickly things can take place and happen. You know, how many times people say, oh, that would never happen in a million years. Well, it didn't happen in a million years. It happened in a month. And I think that could be a real problem. But, you know, we're still conducting church in how we can. We normally have, a day in the summertime where we all get out and do some door-to-door ministry with helps and different things and kids coming in for Bible school program and all those things. And this year what we did instead was it was all packed up into a pack kit and taken to the homes for the family to do something together. Things that they could make with instructions how to do it with the family. I'll give you an example. This year, a lady that usually brings in cookies every year for our Christmas blessing day when people come in and shop. This year, she did something different. She baked a whole bunch of sugar cookies, and she got gallon bags, and she put some sugar cookies in them, along with like sprinkles and icing and things for them to take home and make them and eat them with their family. Because we couldn't do that there with all the hands and whatnot. So, you know, those are things that family can do together. And I think you're never wrong. It never goes wrong, usually. What I mean is, it's not a bad thing anytime that you can sit down with mom or sister or brother or dad and aunt or guardian, whatever the case, and say, let's do this together. And we had so gotten away from a lot of that. Now, if our internet would just go down, you know, we'd be great for a while.
But, you know, that's interesting because, you know, I think it's that has made us more aware. Because the internet was always a bit, oh, if that goes down, we're in big trouble. Well, maybe not. Maybe not.
Could be a good thing.
Yeah. Maybe. You know, as long as the financial records are maintained, I think we're probably okay.
Well, financial records, and then again, we worry about things like, I don't think people really understand that there's not a product purchased in this country that doesn't have a computer somewhere plugged into what's going on with it. You know, even our water systems are run by computers, even our everything, our big freezers and our meat packing plants are on and on it goes, you know.
Electrical grids.
Yeah, everything. You know.
Yeah.
Electrical grid has a problem. But I think still we've learned that we can be a resilient people. We can still love one another. We can help one another and do what we can and able to do that. I saw more people this summer that had boxes sitting out by the road that said free tomatoes, free zucchini, free from where they grow them at home, and had more than they needed. And I know that we, for several weeks, had box in the front of the church that people come in and they put things in, and people that could use them took them out. So I guess what it boils down to is I think it's going to be up to those of us that have faith, that have a caring heart, that are not going to be dismayed completely by everything, to maybe help carry the ball for those that don't know how to do that.
You know, when you were talking about sitting at home and looking at the lights and watching a movie, it's interesting because what always was interesting to me at Christmas time, no matter how you decorated your house, whether it was a tree or nativity scenes or whatever you do, it's the month of December is the time when you're most gone, usually, from your house. So you decorate it all up and you don't spend much time there. Now, this year, that probably did change. The people who decorated got to sit home a lot more than they normally do, mm-hmm. and look at the decorations, and I think that's a nice thing because there is something about that. But then the converse of that is the people who were never all that into that probably would have rather been at the zoo or someplace else looking at lights. So there's always a yin and a yang to these things.
And maybe for the first time they appreciated it at home.
Maybe they did. Hopefully.
There's some people this year that put up light displays at their home that was just unbelievable.
And early.
Early. I saw some go up before Thanksgiving.
I saw Halloween, which is that's pretty good. That's a warm spell came and they were out there.
And you know, we had that on Beggar's Night in town. We always serve something or do something, and this year, along with, we had hot dogs and hot chocolate this year, and we went through 300 hot dogs like it didn't even. And the hot chocolate we went through, I don't know how many crafts of that, but the people were out in mass, masked in mass. How do you like that? And it was just something simple they could do. They could walk around with their kids, let them get out, let them breathe. And I think that's been a pretty good thing. But I look forward to this coming year very, very much. I don't know what it's going to bring. If we get up every day with the attitude of, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future, and I trust God for that. We can always have a positive outlook on what's coming up and what's going to happen. And we certainly have learned, personally, through history, through medicine and everything else, that by having a negative attitude, it doesn't help anything anywhere. It doesn't help your living ability, your bottom line financially. It doesn't help your health. So why do it? Why not say, you know what, next year is going to be better? Things that are out of our control, let's pray that people get in those places to do what's right, and pray that people that are there figure things out that are above my pay grade and above my mindset. You know, we can complain about all these things that we don't understand. Well, let's just pray for those people, those positions, they get it right, because we can't do anything about it. You know, when someone comes to fix your furnace, 99% of the people would have no clue what they're doing. So we have to hand that off. let's be that person that when whatever aspect we are in our job, in our influence, whatever that is, do it to your utmost and put other people before ourselves. And if we do that, we'll be just fine. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that says, another one just entered my mind when I said that. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and basically surrender themselves to me, that I will hear their cry and I will heal their land. Well, people like to talk about that, and then they say, well, yeah, we better pray God takes care of this. That's not what that's talking about. It's talking about humbling and doing what you're supposed to do. And we all have to get in that place where we humble ourselves and say, you know what, we're going to trust God for this to happen. And then on our end, continually do the best thing. It's kind of like the lady that has the bumper sticker that says, follow me to my church, and has an address below it, and she's in front of you at line at McDonald's and is cussing out the lady that's serving the food. You know, no one's going to go to that church. Well, if we're going to talk about God healing our land and about trusting him to do that, we need to be that catalyst that surrenders to being the Christian that he's called us to be. You know what I mean? I can disagree with someone and still love them. I can disagree with someone and still care deeply about them and help them. And that's the people we're supposed to be. So I think in that aspect, I think that you can be firm on your belief and convictions and be a very, very loving person and a very positive person. And positive, you know, the doom and gloom people, I'm not into right now. How about you, Tim?
Nope. Doesn't do any good to be doomy and gloomy.
No, and it doesn't do any good to. What happens if you go to a church? You walk in, say the first time you've ever walked in a church, or been a long time, and you sit down, and someone's yelling and carrying on about how bad things are now, wicked and evil they are. Look, I don't need someone in a pulpit telling me how wicked things are out there. I can see with my own two eyes. How about you tell me where I'm supposed to be? And you tell me, help guide my way back to how God wants us to live into the Word of God.
Exactly.
I would never want to leave my church service feeling animosity towards the people on the outside when I walk out the door. I want to walk out of the service having hope for those people. And if I do what I'm supposed to do as a Christian, those people will see that hope. And I will verbalize it if they don't see it real clearly. But the point is, they should see it clearly. And there's our hope. But we have to decide across the board whether we're going to do lip service or whether we're going to get our feet moving and do action service. And I applaud anybody that's willing to get up and move, and even if I don't agree with them, if they're passionate enough about what they're doing that they're staying active and busy at it. Now, if I'm dead agree in a disagreement with what their idea is, I'm going to pester them to death to come my way. But that's what we do. But sitting back and being negative, like Tim just said, does nothing for anyone. It really doesn't.
Well, I think anytime, you know, we're all human beings, and everybody has an opinion. It's just built in on just about anything you'd ask anybody on. What kind of food do you like? Everybody's got an opinion. But I think where it gets bad is when people just can't stand what other people have to say. You know, working on discussions about differing opinions, that's good. Even trying to change somebody's opinion in a positive way, there's nothing wrong with that.
Nope.
But it's the argument that arises where I'm right and you're wrong and that's it. That's a problem.
That and nobody, like you said, I'm right, you're wrong, but you're not going to listen to what the other person has to say because, hey, I'm right.
Well, I wish we could understand the other person more because that's exactly what they're thinking too.
Yeah.
I'm right and you're wrong. And if you both have that mindset, nothing,
nobody goes anywhere.
Nothing's coming out of that.
Well, I think that you know, when it comes to the Word of God, I believe in biblical truth. And you're not going to, I'm not going to sway on that. No one's going to sway me differently on that, because that's a firm held conviction and belief that I have. But it doesn't mean that what good does it do for me to constantly argue with somebody that doesn't believe that? You know, either going to believe it or they're not going to believe it. So why let things get to the point that they're always focused on the argument? You know, a lot of times people say, oh, what would Jesus wouldn't do that? Yeah, Jesus was very outspoken about things he disagreed with, but he didn't hang around and argue about it. I can't find places in Scripture where he hung around and argued about much of anything. And he told the truth, and it was you believe it or you don't. And I think that even if you follow what his apostles did, it was the same way. You know, I preached here, I preached there, and there were those that believed and those that wouldn't believe. I shook the dust off my sandals and moved on. And but it doesn't mean that you don't love those people that didn't believe. And that's where we got to get past. We got to get the hatred out of our system. I don't like things that are wicked and evil that I perceive as wicked as evil and I believe are. But it's not going to change me on the inside who I am. And it's not going to mean that I want retaliation for that person. I think the greatest thing in the world, if I truly believe what I say I believe, is for that person to suddenly see things the way that I see them. And that's far more positive than making a huge enemy out of the situation. Does that make sense?
Well, it's true, but you know, the irony of this whole thing is that if we look at any other walk of life, let's just say somebody we admire in life, somebody who we think is a good person, somebody who we think is well-spoken, is an intelligent person, we all make those judgments in our own mind, but we don't make them because they told us. If somebody says, I'm smart, I'm honorable, I'm a good person. Well, not maybe you think you are, but that doesn't make me think you are. That's all done by example. We make those decisions by watching what people do and say. But when it comes to issues, we feel that we have to argue about those. And I don't know why. Listen, if I'm better swayed in life by just somebody talking, not an argument, just talk about what it is.
You know, the Bible says that they will know that we're Christians by our love. And I'm not saying that we should never be firm on an issue, because we should be. And we should want things to be well and done and proper and as we believe in Christians biblically. But it doesn't say they'll know we are Christians because we're always fighting and yelling with the other side. And I think that sometimes the anger and stuff that we do is just a release of something that is ugly anyway. So if there's nothing ugly on the inside, you're not going to release ugly. Does that make sense?
Well, you know, what it reminds me of is, you know, everybody has a mother. Whether they're there or not, everybody had a mother at some point and a father. And you will hear from different people, my mother was not a good mother. And then you'll hear, I had the best mother in the world. She was a saint. Now, mom never tells you that. Mom doesn't say that. You make that decision by what mom did.
And if mom does tell you she was a saint, she probably was.
That's right. That's exactly right. So that's it. You know, and why we don't see more situations in life that way, because that's the purest, because you're a blank slate when you come out. As far as your opinion on your mother goes, she, by example, will form your opinion throughout your life. And works for me.
You know, a lot of people tell me, they'll say, you know, oh, I had such a horrible child, you know. My question is always back, okay, I get that. I understand that. And we've all had difficulties. I had some real difficulties. That not from parents that didn't love me, just by situations and things that happened. And death and whatnot. But my question is always, okay, you're recognizing, so what are you doing from this point forward? You know, don't live in that negative past. Say, today is the day, you know, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that I trust God. I'm going to move forward with my life, and I'm going to be who God has designed me to be, and I'm going to be a different person than people are seeing. And I think that I've seen it happen with so many people that he used to do what? Oh, I can't believe that's the same bully that I grew up with on the block. Man, he's so kind to people. Yeah, it's called there was a change in your life, and you took advantage of that change, and you ran with it. You know, it's like Nobel. You know, he's known for the Peace Prize. Well, what did he invent? Do you remember?
No, I don't remember.
Dynamite. Bombs. That was his. That's what he did. And as the story goes, one day he said to himself, what are people going to say about me when I'm gone, that I caused death and destruction? And he changed it, and he decided from that point forward he was going to start this award and honor people that had done something for peace, and that's what he's known for.
You know, that's because that's basically the Einstein, Albert Einstein story, too. You know, he helped invent the mechanism that was the nuclear bomb, but when it was dropped, which wasn't his decision, he absolutely regretted it, and for the rest of his life, any time ever asked, he said his biggest regret was helping invent that.
So, you know, people make different decisions and they move on. I look back at my life, Tim, I'm sure you look back at yours, and you'll say, that wasn't my finest moment at some point. And that's why we try to teach our young people that, hey, do me a favor, listen to what I'm telling you so you don't have to look back and have as many, oh, those weren't my finest moments as I've had. Yeah. And you know, move forward and do what you're supposed to do and be that society that cares without judging so much. I don't think that you have to tell people that what they're doing is bad. I think they know. And I think they have, they know when things aren't quite what they're supposed to be. And I think that if people would live more by example than by talk, then people wouldn't be so apt to jump all over them when they slip up or make a mistake. You understand what I mean?
I think that's right. And I you know, the I told you so is never good.
No.
That's never greeted well. And I'll tell this story quick. The other day I was in the store, and on a dry erase board, it was written poinsettia. And there was a bunch of poinsettias there. But they had misspelled it. And it was poinsettia is how they had spelled with an extra T. And I walked up to the lady just nicely because I thought, well, maybe she doesn't know or wants to fix it, or maybe somebody else wrote it. I didn't know that was the lady who wrote it. And I said, poinsettia is misspelled over there, and maybe she hadn't seen it. She did not like that I had pointed that out to. I pointed it out in, I thought, a very nice way. But I got the impression that she had probably written that. And that was an I told you so to her.
And what you were really saying, I don't want people to judge you because of the way that's written.
So, yeah.
Yeah, you know, we deal with that. You know, I'll tell you another.
We got about 90 seconds. We're good.
Okay. Our church, if you walk in it right now, the trees are gorgeous. This year we had a tree donated by a family that's 12 feet tall and just covered in ornaments, along with other trees and bows and lighting. People look at that and say, well, this is supposed to be about the birth of Jesus. It is about the birth of Jesus, but it's also about kids that don't have a Christmas tree at home and families that come in and you know, we can't be hacks all the time.
No. All or nothing. Ultimatums never work.
They never work. Scott, it's been a great show.
It has been a great show. I do want to let people know that this show will replay on Wednesday from 3 to 4 and Sunday morning, 8 to 9. And this show will replay next Friday because it's Christmas Day and we will not be here.
If you have a need, reach us, 740-494-2222.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Out a glow, we'll find it hard.